Good evening, everyone. I'm going to welcome you all to the Republic Prayer Call. We are in the new month of Adar, 5785, and my name is Chaplain Robert Zuluaga. And I want to welcome you from all the different states. We've got some newcomers. I don't know what states you're from, but we've got Kansas and Colorado and Oregon and California and Texas. We got Alabama, North Carolina. I'm not sure where 770 is. Maybe you could chime in and tell us. Or area code 817. Or 860 for that matter. Here, we'll just get you all to tell us. Claire, where are you from? Which state?
Georgia.
Georgia, welcome. And how about you, Roy? All right. And Thobin, 860, where are you from? Well, anyway, welcome to you all. Let us begin. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly this evening. We're in an exciting cycle. We're in a very intense cycle. We're at the 2 weeks prior to the Feast of Purim. We're at a time of great intense attack and a time of great, wonderful opportunity. So, Lord, we just submit this call to you. We submit our hearts to you. First and foremost, we just lift up the Republic, the United States of America, to you. For all those who are giving their hearts, their all, to do what they believe is best for the re-inhabiting of our country, the taking back of what the power elite, the globalists, the cabal have taken from us over the last 150 years. We just stand with you, Lord, and say, show us, give us wisdom, give us discernment to know which way to go. I want to just start with a little brief comment here from the calendar. The new calendar is out, and Bruce will tell us a little bit about it here in a minute. But this month is to leap forward out of your past into your destiny. Adar is often referred to as a month to leap into your future or your destiny. It's symbolized by a stag or a deer leaping. The biggest issue is being sure you are leaping in the right direction. Like a deer during hunting season, if you jump a fence to the wrong side, you're fair game to be taken out by hunters. My friend Mark would appreciate that. The enemy is on the prowl, scheming to get the sons and daughters of God to be distracted and leap off cliffs or into abysses, never to return. Roy, I'm going to just mute you here, my friend. It is a season of war for the restoration and the reformation of his kingdom. All one has to do is to look around, and wars, rumors of war, and the turmoil is everywhere. We must come out of our slumber, pick up our weapons of war, and be prepared to fight the good fight. Do not jump ahead without listening to the Holy Spirit before you leap. You could be jumping into the enemy's camp and your demise. I think that's just a beautiful way to start off the month with a caution. And it goes on further with a dream by Terry Friesen from last year. And he gives a couple of really good words of counsel in this. He says, God asked him, was I willing to give up the need to wrestle with life and simply receive the best he had for me? Are you ready to enter into the ease of our Father? You know, we've been so used to fighting so much, we forget that he calls us to enter into his rest, and he calls us to abide. The Lord gave me a very sober warning dream recently, and I'm thankful he did. He goes on to say this, progressively, the yoke of Christ in my life has become more and more restrictive. He's been actively working to remove pockets of independence and rebellion from my life, which I agreed to. In the dream, I was feeling the very tight place of his yoke, and in this, quote, protected place, I had very little room to move, almost no room. So form-fitting is the yoke. In this tight, restrictive place, I chose to exercise my independence and rebel against the tightness I was feeling. I just wanted to stretch and feel some freedom in my will. As I did, I could feel my exercise of independence, and in so doing, I could see and feel the hordes of hell recognize my state. I was just Terry, uncovered. They started to circle me and prepare to attack me. The atmosphere became black, and I started to panic, realizing I was outside of my protection. I quickly yielded to Christ, declared him as Lord, and exercised my authority in Christ to marshal hosts to tear down this assault. Once again, I chose to yield, become small, and fit into the yoke Christ has placed on me. The minute I did this, I once again became invisible to the enemy. This is very sobering and very real. The yoke of the Lord can feel very restrictive at times, especially in this area of dominion. I know that boundless freedom is on the way for me and my life, but not until this call to rule and reign with him has been formed in me and I become one with the yoke of his leading protection. You know, that speaks to me in my own life. I've been recognizing, you know, we've been studying a little bit on this call, the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. Last week, I talked about from the courtroom of heaven to the throne room of grace and mercy. And recognizing that we're uncovered, as Terry talks about, I've noticed that in my own life when I notice the devil attacking me. And when I recognize that, something I got out of this book was, you know, we go from the courtroom of heaven where there is a prosecutor, and that prosecutor is Satan. And he's got our carnal number. He knows our sins. He knows our infractions. He knows where we violated the law, and he comes against us. And, you know, I found the way to get back under the yoke, as Terry's saying here, is really very simple. Instead of fighting the devil, what I recognized is Scripture tells us to agree with your enemy quickly before he takes you to court. So what I recognized is I would say, when I noticed, for me, it would be the devil would be attacking me, attacking my mind, calling me names and all sorts of non-complimentary projections. And what I immediately do, I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I'd like to hold courtroom right now. I want to thank you for my prosecutor. I want to thank you for Satan and revealing that I have a weakness, that I have an area in my life where I've allowed him entrance in. And I want to just thank you, Lord, that he has brought this to my attention. I admit my guilt, and I ask that my case be transferred from the courtroom of heaven to the throne room of grace and mercy. And it's just something I started. I don't have any great understanding of it, but I just noticed something. The devil flees immediately. And I recognize I'm under the yoke of God's forgiveness and his mercy and his grace, and that the devil can't touch me there. He can touch me in the courtroom of my flesh. He can definitely attack me there, and has cause. And I just recognize this is such a powerful tool that we have as we do the spiritual warfare. And, we got a few clues from that. I'll again recommend it. From the Courtrooms of Heaven to the Throne Room of Grace and Mercy by Jeanette Strauss. And we are in some really, really testy times right now. I notice folks are attacking each other. So unnecessary. If we humble ourselves, put on our yoke, and recognize who is our author and the finisher of our life, who's leading us by sure paths in this time to a time of great release, a time of great freedom, a time of great breakthrough, a time where judgment is coming upon those who are the evildoers. It's like, just get out of the way. You know, it says in Scripture that He will hide us in the cleft of a rock, safe in times of trouble. He will raise up us up high. And if we recognize that, we do not have to get in the middle of the fray. We can choose to. It's fine. You know, you might have something to prove and think that you have something that you need to prove. But I see that the spiritual battle we are in is very fierce. And, you know, in the time of, if you take it in the time of Esther and the time of Purim, Haman is going down. And it's like right now he's kicking and screaming. In every direction. Perhaps you saw the interview between Zelensky and President Trump and J.D. Vance. Classic example of the rebelliousness, the absolute insolence of the forces of evil. And so I just see, you know, it's like you're getting your chance. You have the stage. You have the platform. Go ahead, knock yourself out. And anyway, those are just my few opening thoughts. I really want Bruce to open us up with a new month, the new calendar, his understanding of it, because he helps Pastor Wade compile this calendar and edit it each month. So, Brother Bruce, I give you the floor. I got to find you where you are to unmute you first. There you go.
Well, good evening, Brother Robert and all. Welcome to the call. Welcome to the new month of Adar. This is a month of 29 days. It began on March 1st. It ends on the 29th. And on the 30th of March, we celebrate New Year's on Nisan 1, which is the Hebrew New Year. So get ready to celebrate New Year's at the end of this month. At any rate, the calendar is 128 pages long. The first 28 pages is all introductory material, Hebrew background, to give a greater understanding of the Hebrew mindset and why they celebrate, how they celebrate as they do. Some of it is very, very deep, and I need to go back and reread it and take notes to find out what I just learned. But a lot of good stuff in there to glean from. In the course of the introductory material here, it gives some Hebrew ancient history regarding the month. The month of Adar in the year 598 B.C. is the year that Jerusalem fell to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and Jeconiah was captured. So a significant month in that regard. On the seventh day of Adar in 1393 B.C., Moses was born. And 1273, on the same date, Moses died, 120 years. On the 14th day of Adar in 474 B.C., the Purim victory is celebrated in the Persian Empire, and I'll speak about that in a little bit. I pulled some information from Turning Point Apostolic Center, which is a ecclesia hub in Kansas, and the ladies there have put some material together there, and she said, the Hebrew month of Adar, Adar is more than a month. It represents an opportunity to change the status quo. Status quo, the way things are. If the way things are is not in alignment with fullness, abundance, and big-time joy, then it's time to disrupt the status quo. We need strategy that stuns unbelief. We've got to challenge whatever feeds unbelief. The Adar time frame carries an anointing and a supernatural grace for breaking out of a cycle of defeat and discouragement. The characteristics of this month and the overall theme is happy. Happy, joyful, favored, satisfied, confident. Happy is a sure thing. Happy is not an emotion based on circumstances. And the Hebrews consider the month of Adar the most joyous month on the calendar. 1 Timothy 1:11, Scripture, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, blessed is our from is a form of Greek word meaning blessed or happy or to be envied. Get it? God is happy God in spite of Lucifer's assault on heaven, in spite of Adam's fall, in spite of Abraham's choices, in spite of David's sin, in spite of Peter's mouth. God stayed happy because he's a happy God. And as he is, so are we in this world. Happy God, happy me. Glory to God. The month of Adar, the primary...
Bruce, can I just interject there? Is that also the same as happy wife, happy life?
You'd have to ask my wife on that.
Bruce, Linda, you can chime in.
Bruce had a prophetic word one time that said, brother, you need to walk in joy, 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 joy. Didn't it? Wasn't that 17 times?
13 times.
13 times. So he's been working on it.
I've been working on it. The Lord's been working on the joy level here. Anyway, as I was saying before I was interrupted.
I yield.
Okay. The primary holiday during the month of Adar is the Purim celebration, which probably most on the call are familiar with that. Goes back to the book of Esther, and when Haman put out a decree in the book of Esther to that all the Jews were to be killed, then Esther and her uncle Mordecai came together. She fasted and asked everyone else to fast for 3 days while she received the plan of the Lord to go in to present herself before the king to overturn the decree that Haman had made. At any rate, Purim is a feast from the book of Esther that is celebrated on March 13th and 14th of this year. It's a two-day celebration. It is not a biblical feast. It is not one of God's feasts. This is something that the people themselves instituted as a result of the victory in Persia. Prophetically, Purim speaks of a divine reversal and the victory of God's people over impossible odds. So whatever's going on in your life that may seem impossible, God is greater than that. This is the month to rejoice in the victory. It reminds us that even in the face of hidden dangers, God is working behind the scenes to bring deliverance, justice, and the fulfillment of his promises. Purim calls us to trust his providence and celebrate his joyfulness and faithfulness. Adar is the season of joy, victory, and divine reversals. It is a time to celebrate various, quote, certain endings in our lives, and to find strength in his joy. It is the last spiritual month before the spiritual new year that begins in Nisan, which is March 30th through April 28th. We must understand there is a spiritual timeline and a physical one on the Hebrew calendar. Haman's decree in the book of Esther was reversed in Adar, and Purim is celebrated as a feast of victory over the enemy. Let us see with the eyes of heaven and hear what the Lord is saying. We are at the cusp of the great divide, and those of us who are standing on the right side of the Lord, or of the fence, as Robert said earlier, in alignment with God's will and his truth, we will see an overthrow of strongholds, a breaking of generational cycles, and a divine alignment come forth over our lives. We will walk in divine position and authority. In the calendar itself, it said, Purim is a Jewish holiday, commemorates the deliverance of the Jewish people in the ancient Persian Empire from the destruction in the wake of a plot by Haman, a story recorded in the biblical book of Esther. The month is related to the tribe of Naphtali, sweetness to me, says the Lord. It is the month to gain favor of the Lord and overturn the plans of the enemy so that he is defeated and hung on his own gallows, glory to God. We are to experience God's goodness and mercy as we develop our war strategy for the future. It is a time to break all decrees against our family as we mount up to destroy the plans of the enemy to destroy us. as we celebrate the season of the Queen who risked everything to save a nation, our Lord wants us to be joyful as we prepare our seeds for spring and till the ground for seed time and harvest. Stay in alignment with the Lord and move into the season of blessing. So there you have it. Glory to God. Celebrate and joy, joy, joy.
And let me add to that. I'm not going into detail because I know most of you have heard it, but in 2011, the Lord spoke to us and confirmed multiple times that his word says that he's no respecter of persons, and what he did for Esther and Mordecai in their days and the children of God, he would do for us if we would call it forth. And there is a remnant that has called it forth. And so I say, with this being that month, would it be a glorious time to see the fulfillment. We have seen step after step after step going towards the completion. But one of these days, we're going to see the fulfillment of the Esther work. And I say, praise God in your time, but you can do it this month, Lord, if you want to. We'll rejoice one way or the other. God bless.
Linda, I've heard you say that for years, and I totally agree with you. I believe this is the season and this is the year for the Esther work, and I think it's happening. We've seen it in the last less than 40 days. It's just, wow.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know what Trump's doing with his administration is really just the tip of the spear of what we're seeing penetrating these forces on a governmental level and a global level. And the challenge is happening left and right and center in every direction.
Well, and you consider what, if I may, if you consider what Trump has done and is doing, now the Democrats back during his first presidential cycle, they took him to court to get his tax records. And he made them take him all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court says, yes, you can have his tax records. That was the gallows that Haman set up, and Trump used those gallows to take them down. Now Trump has access to everybody's tax records because of what Haman, or the Democrats in that case, did. And you look at the Doge group, the Department of Government Efficiency, and Democrats and others complaining about this group and all the destruction that they're doing and how could he do this and so on and so forth. This is something that was set up by Obama. Another gallows that was set up that is now being used to hang them on their own gallows. So this is getting excited. And if you look at things from the standpoint of Esther and Haman and the takedown of the enemy, we're seeing the same exact things happen now in real time. And that's fun and that's exciting.
Amen. Amen. Thank you both. And I wanted to, firstly to invite those of you who are newcomers to this call to know that we take communion together each week. So at some point here, if you'd like to gather the elements, either bread or cracker and some juice or wine, we will be taking communion together a little later in the call. And rather than opine with teachings and what God's put on my heart, I want to start the call this week with what God's put on your heart, what tensions you're feeling, what pressures you're feeling in this season that we're in. And I just want to allow the body to speak. So I'm going to open the call. I'm going to open. And so if you would mute yourself if you're not wanting to speak so we don't get feedback on the line. And then to speak, I'd just like to ask you to give your name and what God has put on your heart. So, and if I keep hearing noise on your line, I'm going to mute you if it's background noise. So please, the floor is open.
Hi, my name is Adrian.
Your name is Adrian?
Yes, I'm the 860 from Connecticut. I have a feeling I muted myself instead of unmuting. when you recognize me as a newcomer. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're out of Connecticut. I gotcha. Well, great. Welcome.
Yeah. A long time ago, God put on my heart inner joy that no one can take away, and it has carried me through this day, and it will going forward. I really don't have any anxiety, any stress, or any overload, because everything in its time will be taken care of. So I am so blessed to have something that nobody can take away from me, and I use it to my full advantage for the Republic. God bless everyone here, and God bless America. Thank you.
Adrian, I would like you to declare that and pray that over the body, if you would.
I am not familiar with what you're requesting me right now.
Just make a prayer, releasing what you have and what you're carrying. Release that over all those who are on the call and over the Republic.
I am asking God, our Father, our Creator of all things, to please bless everyone who can hear my voice and even mm-hmm. beyond with the inner joy, which is a gift that is priceless, because it carries us through all things, good times and difficult times. It is light, it is love, and it brings peace, it brings confidence, kindness, and it brings all good things. So please, Lord, I ask that you share this beautiful peace of grace within the hearts of all. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Adrian.
Welcome.
Hello, my name is Barbara.
And, hi, Barbara. Where are you from?
How are you? I am from New Jersey.
New Jersey.
I have been recently vetted, very excited to work with my governor and our team. And I was on a call before with James. He's the governor of New York, who's still trying to get in. So I'm not sure if you're able to help her. But I said I would, you know, speak up so that somebody could try to get her on the call for tonight.
All I say is the number is posted on the website, and I think they're also posting
yes.
in the wire as well. So it's just a straight
yes.
forward dial the number, and she gets in. So Heavenly
yes.
Father, we just release whatever obstacles in the heavenlies that are blocking
yes.
Jane from attending this call, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much. And I yield, and I've been enjoying these calls every week. Thank you so much for sharing. And it's edifying, and I just appreciate it. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, Barbara.
Thank you.
This is Robin from Alabama. Alabama Justice.
Hi, Robin. You have the floor.
At the center of my being, there is an infinite well of love, and now allow this love to flow to the surface. It fills my heart, my body, my mind, my consciousness, and my very being, and radiates out from me in all directions and returns to me multiplied. And I'd like that to go out to everybody in the Republic, especially our past President Tim Turner, President Geiger, Sandy Marecki, all the people that have calls every week, that, again, the love that we put out, we have to do it together so that it is multiplied and goes throughout America. And then we are the light and the love for the rest of the world. So that's my prayer for today, that we stay united and that this is the month, like you said, to have joy. I did love what was spoken earlier on the call, and I think it's time. It's our time. Let's create it and make it happen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Robin.
Amen.
floor is open. Someone else?
This is Debbie Sharp of North Carolina.
Hi, Debbie. You have the floor.
I would like to ask everyone on the call to put me and in your prayers. I'm having my third assembly meeting tomorrow morning from 10 to 1. I've got 12 people who have been invited to come. They never answer their emails. They never commit to it. So I'm asking that we pray that all of the issues that are stopping them from coming are going to be taken away, and they're all going to see me at 10 o'clock in Carthage tomorrow morning. Heavenly Father, I pray, and I need all of you to pray with me. Setting up these assemblies is, I think, the hardest work that we have to do to get them started, because people are so busy, they don't understand how important this is. We've got to stop the corruption. We've got to create our own government again. So that's what's on my heart.
Well, Debbie, that's beautiful. In fact, I am going to call on Mark Tomaszewski, who is here in Teller County, Colorado, and I would like him to, one, inspire you of what happens when an assembly starts working together, and two, to pray over your North Carolina assembly here that's coming up tomorrow between 10 and 1. So, Mark, if you would unmute and take the floor.
Thank you, Robert. Yes, amen and amen. Good for you for setting up that call. I want to encourage you. You're doing the right thing, and God is going to bring the right people to your assembly, and this is an exciting time. Be excited. Stay excited. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Joy, joy, joy. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I pray for this assembly meeting coming up tomorrow morning. Father, you have called your people. Bring them forth. And devil, take your hands off of their schedules and their automobiles and all of the distractions. We declare in the name of Jesus, no distractions, no interruptions, no demonic activity in this. This will go forward smoothly in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you're calling people to the Republic, and we can have joy in that because the right people will show up to carry this assembly forward in Jesus' name and bring people of different skill sets and different mindsets so that they will all find their gifts and talents that you said is without stopping. Your gifts and callings are without repentance, and you are bringing people in that will have special talents for her assembly. We just say yes and amen to this, and we declare the success, and when we pray, we believe, we do not doubt, and it shall be so in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
you. Debbie, do you have participation agreements to hand out when you have your assembly?
I do have paperwork that has been sent, given to them. I work off of David Waters' work that was turned over to the Asheville, North Carolina Assembly. They created and built themselves in the last 2 years before the flood, before the hurricane. And so they have allowed these documents to go online in a Telegram thread, and that's what I'm using. What I do when I email them is I give them the documents for them to print out for the next meeting. We got a meeting 3 or 4 weeks ago was canceled due to inclement weather, and this is our first meeting since the election.
Well, praise God. We look forward to a good report next week.
Thank you, thank you. And I have one other request, if I may.
You may.
Can you leaders update us on the health and wellness of our leaders, Justice Waters, Dean Hertler, Turner, and anyone else who may be under the weather?
Well, I would say that they all that you have stated are in absolute need of prayers of agreement for their restored health. Also, David Hertler, both Gene and David. And I think it's very important that we not only hold each of those up in God's perfection and his best for them, but the attacks that come against not only the Republic, but and the leadership and against each of you is an attempt to try to get us to be under the weather, under attack, under affliction. And God's word says that we are seated in the heavenlies with him and that we decree, we declare, we pray from a position of victory, not from a position of defeat. So in your prayers for each of the leaders that you've indicated, I would ask that you all agree with God's finished work, which is a perfect work, which is a healthy work, which breaks off all of the oppressions of the devil. We've got a yoke, we're yoked to Jesus, but there's an oppression that comes from the devil, and there's a big difference in the sense of it. The yoke we walk in Jesus is one of surrender, it's one of trust, it's one of peace. When there is an affliction, it is oppressive. It's a totally different sense. So I would encourage you all to hold them all up in prayer. They're specific, some of it's personal. I know Justice Water is contending with some setbacks, but I think he's going to rehab now, and that's kind of the next step where his world is. So thank you for bringing him up. Yes.
And I yield.
Thank you, Debbie. I was going through the recordings that we have in here, and John Rockwell has put in a number of tones going from ranging from 396 hertz or 333 hertz to 396 hertz to 444 hertz to 528 hertz. And so I'm just going to play one at a time in between your prayers. This is 333 hertz. The floor is open.
Robert?
Yes.
This is Alyssa Conrado-Reagan from New Jersey Free State.
I'm trying to find you on here. Oh, Alicia. Okay, hi. Go ahead. Yeah.
I have three different scriptures I'd like to read in a certain order. Do you think I could share those?
Let me think. Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just great.
Okay. So the first one is Luke 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go." I don't know if I did that right. He told them the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. The next one is Jeremiah, chapter 17, 7 through 8. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. The Lord will be their trust. They are like a tree planted beside the waters that stretch out its roots to the stream. It does not fear it does not fear heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still produces fruit. And the last would be Philippians chapter 4, 5b through 7. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Then the peace of God surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I chose these three because the first one, Luke 10, it just reminded me, you know, as after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place. It just, to me, I feel like that is the Republic. Like we're moving ahead, we're moving forward, regardless of what's happening in the background of the Republic. Those of us who are steadfast on our path to assisting the Republic in moving forward. And then we moved into Jeremiah, where it said, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, because I feel like right now we need to be present in the Lord more than anything right now. We can't let all of the noise around us influence us. We need to be able to work around those who could be possible infiltrators, or maybe it's just that they may be lukewarm Christians and they just don't understand the spiritual aspect of all of this, which is a possibility. And that we can't fear. You know, I don't fear anything because I know I have God watching over me. And I pray that for everyone in the Republic, that you have that trust in God, that childlike trust in God. And the last was Philippians, the Lord is near, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. So if we are, you know, anytime you might be feeling anxiety, stressed out, overwhelming, as long as you're turning to God, just continue to pray. That's like the best thing you could do is just stay in prayer always, right? He tells us to pray unceasingly. So I just wanted to share that. That's it. I yield.
Thank you, Alyssa. Before the next person weighs in, Alyssa, I just wanted to give an additional thought to your first scriptural reference. So the 70 were sent out, and then the 70 returned. And there is a place that we as believers in Jesus Christ, we who have died to ourselves and allow God to live through us, there's something that we have the authority in this time. And I just want to read Luke 10, 17 to 20. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you, each and every one of you, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Praise God. That's just happy, happy, happy.
Amen.
Joy.
Thank you for adding that.
You're welcome. This is 444 hertz. The floor is open.
Hi, Chaplain. This is Tracy at Sturm Fair Play.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi. I'm currently working with a very good friend who's very, very ill. And I saw several things leading into her illness, and I just want to remind and encourage my brothers and sisters to remember to capture our thoughts and to capture our tongues, that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they will eat the fruit thereof. We need to be very mindful of what we align our minds and our beliefs and our voices with. So if somebody around you is sick, you know, not to get into fear and decide, oh my gosh, I'm going to get sick because I was around somebody sick. That's not what the word says. And that's not even scientific anymore. You know, we've dispelled the terrain theory. We know that's not valid. But what we decide to agree with and to come into agreement with, that is valid. And so we need to, like Wade was saying, Pastor Wade was saying that you know, these are very, or maybe you were saying it, these are very serious times, and we definitely need to be going forward with the Holy Spirit. So I just want to, again, to encourage us, you know, by His stripes we were healed. We have the covenant. We have protection from the perilous pestilence, as Psalm 91 reminds us. And we don't have to succumb to sickness and illness, whether it's coming from the sky or whether it's coming from the neighbor or whatever, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. 528 hertz. The floor is open.
Did you say that Jean and her husband are sick?
David had a stroke a number of months ago.
What about her?
She's contending with some health issues, and she's getting stronger.
Can we pray for them, please? Them and Justice Waters, I'd like to pray for them.
The floor is open. Go ahead.
Father, in the precious name of Yeshua, I come before you, Father God. You are the God that heals. You are the God that strengthens. You are the God that sees all things. You are the God that knows all things. You know the struggles that are besetting them. I just lift up Jean and Dave and Justice Waters. And I ask you, Father God, that you would touch them by your holy healing hands, that your Holy Spirit would wrap around them in such an intense and strengthening way, that you would go down into the depths of the DNA of their cells, Lord God, that you would touch them into the innermost parts of their beings, that you would break off the crust off their piano gland, that they would have the ability to be free in thought and be able to get closer to you, and that any toxin in their bodies, Father God, be removed and flushed from their systems, Lord, by the power of the blood that is over them. The blood of Yeshua is over their household, is over them, Father God. We call forth an anointing to come down upon them and flush out and flood out and wash from a high and heavenly waterfall all the toxins in their body, all the toxins in their cells, all the toxins in their bones and in their minds and in their nervous systems, Father God, that their bodies would function in alignment with you. There be an alignment to the purposes that you have placed forth. Father God, that no weapon formed against them would prosper. Every tongue spoken against them, we call it null and void in the heavenly realms, and we break any curses that have been placed on them. We break any spells that have been placed on them. We break any covenants that have been caused through deception or through just permissions of some sort, known or unknown, Lord, things that go back into the generations of their bloodline. We cut and sever those things. In the precious name of Yeshua, we cut and sever everything that is not from you, that has come down through the generations, that has come in from those around them, that has come down through just the poisons in the air and the poisons in the food. We break that off them in the name of Yeshua. We call forth wellness in the name of Yeshua. We call forth immense health, that you would open the treasures of heaven and pour out onto them all the things that they need and beyond what they need, Father God, that you would bring them in back into that oneness and joy that they had. Lord, Father God, have mercy on each one of us on this call. Call us to you, Father God. Call us to you to look in the mirror and ask you, Father God, is there anything in our bloodlines that could be hampering us? Is there anything in our bloodlines that could be coming down and affecting us in a negative way? Father God, in the precious name of Yeshua, I ask that your truth would be known. For everything that's been kept in secret, let it be manifest. Everything that's been hidden, bring it forth into the light, Father God. I pray for this republic. I pray for the leadership. I pray for every deceptor. Every deceptor, every infiltrator to reveal themselves in such a way that it becomes absolutely clear and that there be no escape, and that they can be purged, because if you don't change them, Father God, then remove them, Father God. And I bless your name, Father God, for this is your land. We are your people. We submit to you within in all holiness, Lord God. Purge us that we walk forward in your holiness, Lord. Not in our vanity, our imaginations of what holiness is, but in the true and pure godly holiness truth. In Yeshua's name, I yield.
Ah!
We have a number of different shofar blasts in the broadcaster here that have been added over the years, and that shofar was the east wind. I want to read a little bit more from the calendar from Pastor Wade. This is Adar. It is a month of great joy as the Hebrew leaps in joy for their deliverance from the death sentence. It is the month when the curse over Naphtali, from when they rebelled against God, was overturned. You can break the curse of rebellion and overturn the curse now. Repent. It is the month of starting to move toward our destinies. Yeshua chose most of his disciples from the tribe of Naphtali, in the region of Nazareth on the Sea of Galilee. In Revelation 7, Naphtali is seen as restored with 12,000 chosen from the tribe and sealed as servants of God. It is a season to become what God has called us to be. Yeshua begins his ministry in Matthew chapter 4. Now, when Yeshua heard that John the Baptist had been arrested and put in prison, he left for Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the country of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee, that is in the district of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting, that is living, in spiritual darkness, have seen a great light. And for those who are sitting, that is living in the land and the shadow of spiritual and moral death, upon them a light has dawned. From that time Yeshua began to preach and say, repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking. Regret past sins, live your life in a way that proves repentance. Seek God's purpose for your life, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Glory to God. You know, it is such a time of turning and saying, wow, I have been born for such a time as this. You were created. God knew his designs on you before you were in your mother's womb. And he calls each and every one of you to go and you fill in the blank. What's he called you to? Shake off the old, shake off the fear, shake off the sense that the devil's got the upper hand, and be bold in what God's called you to. Trust this is the time. Okay, let's do another shofar here. We're going to do the south wind shofar now. Amen. All right, the floor is open. Who else has something on their heart?
Chaplain Robert, this is Katie Dombrowski from Teller County. And I just have Psalm 37, if that would be okay.
Certainly.
Just a few verses out of it. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord Yahweh and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as thy light, as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord Yahweh, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth for a little while, and the wicked shall not be. And so it just keeps on going on and on about trusting in the Lord Yahweh and delighting in him. And then he gives you the desire of your heart. And as we face this division and threaten the republic, the Lord just reminded me of Psalm 37. And also, the steps of a good man are ordered by Yahweh, and he delights in his way. Though that man fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord Yahweh holds him up with his hand. And so, Father, I just thank you for your provision in Psalm 37 and Psalm 91 for this republic and all the people and families in it, Father. I pray your protection and your guidance and your wisdom over all these people. And I thank you that this evil is exposed and that it has an opportunity to be purged by you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. We have a shofar west wind. Mark Binder, would you be willing to lead us in communion in a little while?
Yes, I would do that. Thank you.
All right, I'll call on you in a few. Thank you, sir. The floor is open. Anyone else have something on their heart? I have a friend of mine. We do coffee together pretty regularly on a Monday morning, and he was sharing with me a dream that he had that in part I'd like to share with you. And he's newly married. They recently moved, and they're. So God gave him a dream about having a garage sale of the heart. Think about what that means to you. Having a garage sale of your heart. What it just jumped out at me is, what is God calling each one of us to that is cluttered with a bunch of things from our past, clutter of things that we have surrounded ourselves with that distract us from his calling upon us? And I just love that term. It just really speaks to me as I do a checkup from the neck up and recognize that there's stuff that, you know, I've tossed away in a corner. It's got dust on it, added boxes on top of it. It's inconvenient to look at. It's painful, perhaps, to look at. And yet, God's inviting us to clear the clutter, to clear the clutter in our thought world, our emotional world, our physical world, to be able to be more available and more attentive to what he calls us to. And sometimes we carry unconsciously stuff in the garage of our heart that God's inviting us to have a yard sale, have a garage sale. So I just offer that for us to ponder this evening. This is a shofar of the north wind. Yes, John, you have the floor.
Okay, so a little late to bring this up, but you could turn your mic gain down if some if you want. But what I was going to say is that a week ago Saturday, I went on outreach, and we had I think it was five of us together, and we were going down the street and met this guy who was, I think his name was Salvador. Anyway, he, we found out that after talking to him that he loved the Lord and knew the Lord, and but he was on the street there. And anyway, we asked if he needed prayer for anything, to if anything had any pain in his body. And yeah, he said he had pain in his leg because he had been hit by a truck some time back, I guess. And so he had quite a bit of pain in his leg, apparently. So we prayed for his leg. And after we're done, somebody asked him how it felt. And he said, "The pain's gone," and he started to cry. I thought that was great that we really knew that he had been healed because he started to cry. And so then he had some problems with his eyes. It looked like one eye was almost completely covered with a cataract or something. Anyway, we prayed for his eyes, and he started seeing a little bit of light. So praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, the word works through us, doesn't it, John? It's we're just asked to be available and let Jesus and his love and his healing move through us.
Yeah, it seemed like the next day on a Sunday at church, the Lord was impressing on me that we have not because we ask not.
Wow.
Praise God.
Amen. Well, this shofar blast has an opportunity for you all to sing out after it. So here goes. This is Shofar Allen AM service.
Now give a shout back.
Hallelujah. God, thank you, Jesus. You're an awesome God. You are faithful to your kids. Amen. Anyone else have something on their heart?
I'd like to say something. This is Robin again from Alabama. I had the pleasure of getting a phone call earlier. It was either this week or last week. I guess it was last week. Anyway, the friend of mine is in California and a new employee who's gotten out of prison. Ended up, his wife was part of the Republic way back when and was with Tim Turner and everybody, I guess, around 2010 and 12. Anyway, he's had gone to prison. He was sitting in a car. Somebody else did something stupid. But the other gentleman got out after 11 years. He actually was in prison for 44 years. He was so excited to be put on the phone call with me. And I said, I'm new. If your wife was, you know, in the Republic way back when, she's not in good health right now. I said, I'm so happy to meet you. So anyway, I gave him updates on the Republic. He is working with a friend of mine with the National Veterans Foundation out in L.A. But I gave him the information on how to get back on our Republic site. I gave him information about Justice Waters and our judicial, because the gentleman that was let out after 11 years actually wrote a letter saying that this gentleman had been put away, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't know anything was going to happen. Anyway, he was in there for 44 years, giving him encouragement, telling them about, you know, what we're doing with the Republic now. And it just made me feel good to be able to welcome him with open arms, and that he'll be able to start his life brand new. So it kind of brought joy to me, and I didn't know that this month was all about that. So it just made me feel good, and it made him feel good that I knew what he was talking about, because my friend didn't, that hired him. He's a very much a liberal, but this gentleman is conservative, and they get along well because it's the same thing for me. I'm not a liberal, but we can care about one another. So in the Republic, there's room for everybody. So again, that joy and the highest frequency is love, and I'm enjoying hearing the show far because my twin plays that, and I don't get to hear it enough. So anyway, thank you so much.
You are most welcome. Here's Stephen Lustra playing the shofar. Mark Binder, are you ready?
Yep, I am ready, sir.
Thank you, sir. You have the floor.
Thank you. First, a little history. Communion began on the annual celebration of Passover when Jesus told his disciples to remember him and his sacrifice as they ate the bread and drank the wine. Just as Israel celebrated the sacrifice of the Passover lamb when the angel of death passed over their homes, believers in Jesus celebrate and remember his sacrifice for our sins when he gave his life on the cross. Holy Communion uses bread as a symbol of the body of Jesus and wine as a symbol of his blood. Communion services as a solemn moment for believers to reflect on Jesus' sacrifice and express gratitude for the profound redemption and forgiveness of sins achieved through his crucifixion and resurrection. The scripture is 1 John verses 1, or chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Matthew 26, verse 29, this is Jesus speaking. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And then John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. All right. So while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Please partake. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said, this is my body of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. And please partake of the wine or the juice. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And go in peace and serve the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's because of who you are. We give you glory. As we conclude tonight, I wanted to just give a couple of thoughts. One's out of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And in 2 Timothy 1, we see, I think it's 7, let me just see. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. You know, as I observe and listen to the warring going on in our members, I see God's not a God of disorder. He's a God of order. And we're not given into the spirit of fear. I have said on a 12-week course, classes here in Teller County. I do post them on the wire for those who want to follow us on Zoom. But the class is entitled Restoring the Covenant in America. And I've been watching how God is leading me and guiding me in preparation for the different lessons that I'm unfolding. And what we're doing is reconstructing in history from the time of recorded history, actually, and we've gone through looking at all the different civilizations that have come and have gone. And we see in the flood that what is left is Noah's family, three sons, my three sons, and then all of the civilizations of the world coming from these three sons, and to see the amount of warring and killing and dog eating dog, of tribe eating tribe, of killing tribe, of whole empires being raised up and conquering other smaller civilizations and groups of people. And the goal of this is to help us get our head around, our heart around, and our understanding that we are many, many different people who have different cultures that have made up our world the way it is today. And I'm endeavoring to bring those who are following the class to understand how special is this culture that we have raised up here, that God has raised up in the United States of America, that it is a nation that is founded on biblical principles, that we have a written constitution that upholds our God-given unalienable rights. And so what I want to leave you with is this. You know, we all have some truth. None of us have all the truth. And oftentimes where there is friction and strife and discord is out of our ignorance. And sometimes our ignorance causes us to be so self-assured that we know, and everybody else is wrong. And so we puff ourselves up to be right at somebody else's expense. And others feel that they're so right that they impose their beliefs upon us, and they impose their ways upon us, and they carry a bigger stick or have more influence, and so it affects the lives of entire civilizations. And so as we close this evening, I just want us to be prayerful that God knows what he's doing. He's put it all together. We've got a pretty shady past if you look at humanity. You know, from the time of Abraham on, we have a time of Adam and Eve on, should I say. And God's love for us is so beyond our imaginings. His patience, his long-suffering, his ability to allow civilizations to rise and fall. For his purposes, he's got a grand scheme of things, and that is, in my opinion, the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is the turning of worlds. That is the fulfilling that intimate relationship he invites each of us into. And that work is a long journey. Some folks don't get there at all in this life. Some folks don't get there till their deathbed and they turn and recognize that they've been barking up the wrong tree their entire life. Some of us come to that understanding sooner, and God equips us and prepares us and sets us forth to go out into the world to make disciples. And I just invite us to remember that the making of disciples is we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the ministering servants to others. So if we see somebody is in error, we love them. With the love of Jesus, we speak our truth. We speak it gently. But we need to be mindful not to be in our insistence and thinking that we're knowing we're right. Remember that Jesus never forces anybody into relationship with himself. It's an invitation. And that invitation is a free will opportunity. And sometimes we want to cram what we know down somebody else's throat. And I just want to invite us to recognize ignorance is a greater enemy, in my opinion, than is what we see as the detractor or the infiltrator or the Judas amongst us. A lot of times it's ignorance and the long suffering to teach others what we know, to open a door for somebody, invitation to examine a truth. They may say no. You might have to wipe the dust off your feet and keep moving. But they might just go, oh, wow, you know, I hadn't looked at it that way. And we need to be mindful in our own walk to be gracious, to recognize we don't have all the truth, and that God may just be sending somewhere our way for us to be humble and to self-reflect and see what he's saying to our spirit before we jump in with all, you know, fists raised and arms raised to go, I'm here to defend the faith. We're looking at the time of the Crusades, and it's like, oh my goodness. You know, those who said they were defending the faith were actually defending an agenda that wasn't really what Jesus had in mind. But nevertheless, God's plans and purposes for all civilizations are to draw all men's hearts to himself. And we're in the process of that. And we are so blessed to be in this culture, to be in this time and space, to be in this country, to be able to allow God to move in and through us to fulfill his purposes. Well, I want to put somebody on the spot here to close us off in prayer. And if she's still on, yes, she is. Kathy Gish, governor out of Kentucky. You have such a gentle disposition. I just wonder if you would close us off in prayer.
Oh, I was trying to unmute. Sorry about that. Thank you, sir. It's an honor and a privilege, and I'm so happy that the Republic has you. We have all of our amazing people on this call. I know we have some great prayer warriors, so I just say in Jesus' mighty name, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Republic. We thank you for the leaders. We thank you for those standing strong. We thank you that we have this outlet to come together and to keep you ever present in our minds, in our thoughts, in our prayers, and we just thank you for the blessings of these days. We know that you are times of turmoil, and we just go to our secret place with you where you have us in your protection, and we just call on your guidance. We call on your words that we can use, the sword of the Spirit, mightily in your name. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen.